Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I'd like to speak with you for a few minutes today on Christ's words concerning the coming of the last day. And I would like to start right in the middle of this passage. Jesus says in verse 33, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away." So Jesus is saying that his word of prophecy, his teaching, will endure longer than the universe. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but not my words. My words will endure into eternity. Now, in this chapter of St. Luke's Gospel, the Lord Jesus is talking about two things. First of all, he's talking about God's coming judgment upon the land of Israel for having rejected their Messiah who has come to give them salvation. And Jesus teaches that there will be certain signs that lead up to the coming destruction of the temple and of Jerusalem and of the nation of Israel. And all that Jesus said took place in 70 AD, within a generation of Jesus having spoken these words. Now, Jesus is also speaking about the end of the world, the last day, the second coming of Christ, the day of judgment. And sometimes it's kind of hard to separate when he's talking about the destruction of Jerusalem and when he's talking about the end of the world. But in one way, this is not that important because we must remember that the destruction of Jerusalem is, if you will, a miniature and a microcosm of what will take place at the end of the world. Indeed, for the unbelieving people of Israel who did not recognize and did not believe in their very Messiah, King, and Savior, this day was the end of the world for them. Everything that they had ever hoped in had failed to come true in their eyes. Now, it came true. It was realized. But they missed it. They missed it. And so for them, the end of the world came in miniature in 70 AD. And Jesus is teaching us, when he teaches us about the last days, when he teaches us about the coming end of the world, he blends it together with his destruction of Jerusalem prophecy. And so we are to look at what happened in the land of Israel in 70 AD and say, something like that on a grander scale will take place in the end of the world. And so Jesus says, "This generation shall not pass until all be fulfilled." He's saying that the generation of the Jewish people who were listening to him teach and preach, they would not pass away until everything that he had said came to pass. Now this has a twofold application. Number one, his words were literally true that within 40 years of his crucifixion and death, Jerusalem was destroyed with many signs and portents attending to it, just as Jesus had taught. But there's another way that Jesus' words about this generation are still being fulfilled. And that is this, that God has preserved the people of Israel to this day, even despite the fact that they are in unbelief with regard to Christ, their Messiah, yet they will continue in the world right up until the end. And in every generation, God brings a remnant of them to faith in Christ. And so, for the sake of his mercy upon the elect remnant, God has prevented the people of Israel from disappearing into the mass of humanity. Whatever happened to the Philistines? Who cares? Whatever happened to the Assyrians or the Babylonians? Who cares? But the Jews, they are still there. And they exist for Christians as a sign of the truthfulness of Jesus' word. Jesus said, "This generation shall not pass until all things be fulfilled." And that has a twofold fulfillment. Number one, within one generation of Jesus' words, Jerusalem was destroyed. And that generation has continued, that is, the kind of people who rejected Jesus as their Messiah, they have continued as a people in the world as a sign to the Christian church of the truthfulness of God's word. They shall not pass until all things are fulfilled. All right, now, let's move on from there. Jesus says, look at the fig tree and all the trees. You know now that when they shoot forth and begin to bud, that summer is close at hand. So, when you see these things begin to come to pass, you know that the kingdom of God is near at hand. So Jesus is teaching us that before the second coming of Christ, there will be certain signs that he reveals to us, and that when we see them, we should take them for the signs that they are, and we should act accordingly. So what are these signs? We go up into the beginning of our text today. Jesus said, there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars. That is one of the portents of the coming of Christ will be that something will happen in the sky. The sun will act differently, the moon will act differently, and the stars will act differently. And those who have eyes to see it will take note of these things. Now there will be three reactions. Jesus speaks of two of them here, but later on in Luke's gospel and in Matthew's gospel, he talks about a third one. For the most part, people will see these things happen. they will come up with a rational reason why they're happening, and they will continue in their godlessness, their wickedness, and their sin, and not heed the signs of the coming. So that's one reaction. As it was in the days of Noah, Jesus said, so it shall be in the days when the Son of Man comes. In those days, people married, were given in marriage, they had families, they continued to do their thing until the day that the flood came. And Noah and his family were saved and everyone perished. And so it will be that many, many people will see the signs. They will come up with rationalistic explanations for it, and they will continue in their impenitence and sin. Another group of people will react differently, and Jesus mentions them here. It says, upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity. And then he goes on and says, men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things that are coming on the earth. So another segment of society will see these signs. And because their hearts are filled with superstition and false faith, they will not see the hopefulness that Christians are enabled to see, and these signs will fill them with abject terror, fear, and anxiety, distress of nations with perplexity, men's hearts failing them for fear as they look up and they see the sun acting the way the sun has never acted before, and they see the moon acting the way the moon has never acted before, and they look up at the stars of the heavens and see the stars doing strange things that they have never done before, and they will be filled with terror, anxiety, distress, and fear to the point where their hearts fail them in fear. But Jesus says there's a third group of people, and he says this. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up, lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. So he's speaking to his disciples. He's speaking to those who believe that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God, that he who came to be our Redeemer will come again on the last day to receive us into the kingdom of glory. And he says, when you see these things begin to come to pass, you are to act with joyful anticipation and hopeful expectation, because these are signs of your redemption drawing near. That is, you see them for what they really are, which is signs of your coming victory, your coming vindication, the consummation of all the things that you now possess by faith, but you don't possess them by sight. You know, you are a holy saint of God, but in the world's eyes, and even in your own eyes, you're a sinner, right? And you do a lot of messing up in your life. But in the eyes of God, through faith in Christ, you are a holy saint of God. You are an heir of the eternal kingdom of glory. You are a co-heir with Jesus Christ of the glory of the kingdom to come. But in this world, we all look like schleps. All right? It doesn't appear. All right? What we have by faith, not by sight. You know, it would be nice. It'd be nice if we all had little pink dots in our foreheads that when we really got came to true faith and understanding, the little pink dot would turn blue. And you would be able to see, oh, look, there's a blue dot over there. There's a person who is saved, a holy saint of God, an heir of the kingdom of glory. You know, that'd be kind of nice, you know, that we could all tell. You know, we could tell who was one of us and who wasn't. Right? But it isn't that way. All right? Just as Jesus came in lowliness and humility, just as he came riding on a donkey as the king who brings salvation, yet he came riding on a donkey in lowliness. And he went to his death upon the cross, the apparent failure of all time. And yet he won eternal salvation in that very failure. So it is that you and I, we live in this world now under the cross, in affliction, believing things that we don't yet see. Blessed are they, Jesus said, who have not seen and yet have believed. And so it is, we walk by faith, not by sight. But when we see these signs begin to come to pass, we are to lift up our heads and look up. That is, we are to anticipate with joyful expectation that the day of consummation is at hand, and that our redemption, our victory, and the manifestation of our identity as the holy saints of God and blessed of Jesus Christ will be made manifest. In the meantime, Jesus says, take heed to yourselves. Be careful. Be careful. Pay attention to your life. Pay attention to what motivates you. Pay attention to the things that you like and the things you don't like. Beware, he says, to yourself, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting, drunkenness, and cares of this life. The great tendency of all people, even Christian people, is that we tend to take things for granted. We tend to get bored with things once we get used to them. We tend to get tired of stuff that we've heard frequently. And so what happens is there is that natural tendency to degrade in all the things, you know, whether it's about the guy who used to be really on top of his favorite hobby, but now all the tools of his hobby are gathering dust in a corner of the basement. That's the real story of the human race. We get started so well, and we proceed along the way pretty well. But then over time, we lose our edge. We begin to get blasé. And before we know it, we're wondering, whatever happened to that hobby I used to have? Whatever happened to that love of fill in the blank that I used to have? Whatever happened to my zeal for the Lord Jesus Christ that I used to have? So Jesus says, listen, take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your heart gets burdened down with the things of this world, and you end up being taken by surprise by something that you should have received with joy. Don't let that day come upon you unaware, for like a snare, it will come upon those who dwell upon the face of the whole earth. It's going to snap like a mouse trap. People will go, whoa! All right? But don't let that happen to you. Take care. Watch and pray. Be alert. See to it that you remain in the faith, and that when you see yourself losing your edge, that you take the appropriate steps to stem the tide. And what are those steps? Repentance and return to the Lord and His Word. Jesus is always intensely interested in your well-being. He wants you to be saved, and He works and is present in His Word and sacraments to return you to Himself, to reestablish you, to lift you up, and to return you to your zeal, that you may recover your first love, which was lost. So Jesus says here, in the meantime, take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts... Remember what Jesus said to His disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane? He said, listen, I'm going to go over there and pray. You stay here and watch. And He comes back and He finds them sleeping. And He says, the spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak. And that's the way it is with us. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And we are so easily dragged away by the flesh. The solution is to nourish our spirit in the gospel and the grace of God given in the sacraments, so that our spirit may be strengthened in Christ and not be weighed down by the flesh. At any rate, that day will come when God is good and ready for that day to come. And while the news of that day fills some people with laughter, some people with fear, for the Christian, that day will be a day of redemption, victory, vindication, and glory. And therefore, we ought to look forward to it with joyful anticipation, because Christ the Savior will come to receive the saved to Himself forever. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.